Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Okay, I'm nervous now. You didn't tell me this many people is going to be here. Praise the Lord. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. What an honor to be here to bring the word to you. And just like Pastor Matt said, and he likes to joke around, but I believe that God placed Pastor Matt in our lives during a time that when you start a church, I don't know, you know, church plants are different than just people that take over churches. Yes. And there was a time in our life that I felt like I didn't have a friend in the world. Yeah. And I get this Facebook message saying, "Hey, brother, what's been up?" It's like, "Oh, Matt Krichunas." So we linked up, and then from there, he's your pastor. I just want to let you know, if you don't already know about this, he just has a heart for people. He has a heart to see the kingdom of God grow, expand, not for his own gain, but because he's met Christ on a real relevant way, and he wants you to know Jesus the same way he does. And he says, "Look, if there's any way I can help you, just ask me." And he's poured into us, in which in turn has helped grow our ministry. We're going on 5 years of ministry, and we're growing significantly. Praise God. I just want to recognize my beautiful wife that's sitting right here. Sometimes she makes it hard to preach. I lose my focus sometimes. But then God said, God is truly good. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I also want to recognize I have some dear friends that I grew up with. Praise God. From way out in Fairfield, California. Actually, Suisun. Let's make that straight. Fairfield and Suisun. And they're out here, and they're here to visit me. Praise God. And I thank you for the Edwards family. And Mother Nichols, God bless you. Thank you. We came a long way, y'all. You know where we was at. But praise and thank God that, you know what, he doesn't judge us for what we were. Amen. Amen. He called us to, and he said, "I have an expected end for you." Yeah. We didn't know it then, but then the grace of God just surrounded us, and look where we're at today. Amen. 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 I know, Ms. Nichols, you're probably doing all kinds of praying for your children. Praise God. Don't stop. Amen. And they just start praying for the grandkids now. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I have a word for you today. Praise God. Straight from the Lord. And I know, you know, when Matt asked me, he says, "Listen, man, I want you to come up and do the men's advance, and then I want you to preach for our people." And I said, "Okay." So immediately I begin to pray, and I start seeking God. I said, "God, what do you want them to hear? Now, what is a word for them in due season?" And how many know sometimes you pray, you don't hear nothing? You know, you ever been there? You're like praying, waiting to hear God. You don't hear nothing but the crickets just in the dog next door. Yes. And you know, that doesn't mean you give up. You just keep praying. You just stay there. And then one day God began to speak to me. And he says, "John, I want you to go and tell Faith and Victory Church I have a word for them." And that word that he told me to tell you was to go big. Amen. Sounds cool. Yes. You know, sounds catchy. You know, people always want to come in with big catchy phrases and stuff like that. That's us as preachers. We want to make sure it catches when you hear some. But God's not really into the way things look. Yeah. Because he says we're not to be moved by what we see. We're not to be moved by what we hear, but we're supposed to be moved by his spirit. And when God spoke that to me, I felt it in my spirit. And he said, "Go big." He says the next step of Faith and Victory Church is going to be big, and they're going to have to do it big. Amen. They're going to have to do it big. Now, I know that we all serve a big God, don't we? Yeah. You guys believe that we serve a big God? Yeah. Well, don't you think a big God wants you to believe in big things? Yes. Huh? And I'm not talking about the big body Benz or the big Cadillac. I'm not talking about those type of things. But we're talking about going big. So what I want you guys to do, if you have a Bible, open up to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. If you don't have a Bible and you have your phone or your iPad or your whatever smart pad, then turn on your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 9, 23. We're living in that day and age. Praise God. Technology is awesome, isn't it? That's why I like to tell our saints, I said, you have no excuse for not having a Bible, because they're so easy at the easy access. You know, those days of us as pastors having to go out and buy Bibles, they're free. If you have a smartphone, you can download them for free. And then you don't even have to look for scriptures. You don't have to call and ask people for scriptures because they give you daily readings. Man, it's easy to be Christian nowadays, isn't it? Praise God. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Praise God. And these are the words of Jesus. And it says this. What do you mean? If I can. Jesus asks, anything is possible if a person believes. Now go ahead. I want you to turn. Stay in Mark. I want you to turn to chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say hold on.
Hold on.
All right, I'm holding. Praise the Lord. I want you guys to see. I want you guys, as I'm reading, I want you to read this. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, if you guys don't have your Bibles, you can look up on the board. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Okay, and it reads this. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your head. I'm sorry? Have no doubt where? In your heart. Okay, in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you will receive it, it will be yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word right now. I thank you for touching your word. You have already blessed it. I thank you right now that you said that the word that you send out will not turn back void. Thank you that our ears are open to receive your word and our hearts are prepared to receive the engrafted word of God. We are prepared to be chastised, challenged, and changed today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now look, as we're reading this scripture, we can look back and see a principle that God wants for us. And that principle, I believe, that we see in the scripture is that God wants us to go big. See, you notice he used a mountain to try to show people about faith. You know, he could have used anything. He could have said, you know, this rock or this tree, you know, but he decided to use a mountain. Now, you guys know Mount Rainier is right out there, right? Yeah, you guys know Mount, you see it every day, I'm sure. And see, Jesus would look at you if he was here today and he said, well, yeah, come on, it rains out here. But you know it's there. You know it's there. So it's behind the clouds. So you know it's there. So if Jesus was here and he said, okay, he said, if you truly believe that you want to move this mountain, if you believe it in your heart and you say move, it's going to move. Now, I believe truly that God was using this principle to try to explain to the disciples that, listen, if you're going to believe in me for something, I need you to believe in something big.
Amen. Amen.
Why waste your time and believe in things that you can try to add up and figure out?
Yeah, come on.
That's not faith.
Amen.
That is not faith. God wants us to go big. Now, just real quickly, just so you guys know, that word big is an acronym. That word big means believing in God.
Amen.
God says, whatever you do, whatever you're about to do, I need you doing it big. I need you to do it believing in God. God says, whatever I call you to do, I want you to do it believing in me, going big, doing it big. Whether you're working for the kingdom, do it not for the king, for the people, do it for me. Do it believing in me. Whether you're giving from out of your pocket, don't sit down and go, well, I'm only giving what I can afford. No, you got to give believing in God. Now, God will always ask you to do the things that are impossible without him. He'll always ask you to do things that's impossible without him. Why? Because it requires faith.
Yes. Right.
And we all know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? He says the just shall live by faith. So if we're just and we live by faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, why would God set us up to do something that doesn't please him? God will give us opportunities to work in faith to please him. A lot of us sit down and say, I just want to do what's right. I want to do what's pleasing to the Lord. Well, then walk by faith. Do those things that are impossible. You got to do those things believing in God. God gives you opportunities so that he could look at you and say, I'm well pleased. See, if you could sit down, add it up, figure it out, reason it out, then it's not faith. How many times has God given us a dream or given us a vision and we sit down and we pull out the calculator, we start adding it up, we start calling in our people that we know to try to get things done, and we can't get it done, and we go, forget it. Because it doesn't look like I can get it done. I'm not going to do it. God requires faith of his people to complete the dreams and visions that he gives you. Now, the question I want to ask you guys this morning is this. Is your God too small?
No.
Huh?
No, not my God.
You guys not too small?
No.
No? You sure about that?
Yeah.
I heard that. Because if God is for us, who could be against us? We say that, right? Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, but then the moment that you get the call from the doctor and he says it don't look too good, I need you to come back in here and take a couple of tests. When cancer comes back, when cancer comes ringing at your door again. And you go, God, can you do it? Can you do it again this time? Can you do it again this time?
Will you?
I believe God has already healed us.
Amen.
Personally, I'm walking, I stand before you, and I always have to ask that question. I say, God, are you going to heal me? Because right now I got a pacemaker in my heart. On the outside, I look like I'm in perfect good shape. But I got a bad heart. So I have a pacemaker. I got to wear this defibrillator. And I always ask God, God, when are you going to heal me? God, when are you going to heal me? God, when are you going to heal me? If anybody in here is medical, congestive heart failure, I have an ejection fraction of only 19%. I should be on oxygen. I should be in a wheelchair, barely able to breathe, barely be able to speak because my heart doesn't work right. But then I began to ask God, why haven't you healed me? I'm doing everything you want me to, God. This is for somebody. I'm doing everything you want me to, God. I've given of my life. I've laid down everything in my life for you, and I'm still not healed. What is it, God? And God said, I need you to remember something. First, I want you to do, and everything you do, I want you to do it believing in me.
Yes.
But he says, second, listen to this. Do you remember there's a story that I told you about some lepers?
Yeah.
And he says, with the lepers, I healed them. But they weren't healed until they began to walk. He says, as you walk,
amen,
they were being healed. As we're walking. So God said, you just keep walking and I'm going to keep healing you. The problem is, don't you dare stop walking. Don't quit going. Don't quit moving. You keep walking. And God says, you know what? In your weakness, my strength is made perfect anyway. Don't you realize that the grace of God is laying upon your life? Whoever's in here sick and have been troubled and been asking God why, you should be just thinking to yourself, why not you? God said he would not put on you more than you can handle or more than you can bear. And see, when it's on you like that, you can just say, God, you're going to use me for a vessel of your glory. Because me walking around healthy and all that other stuff, they just see a healthy person. But when they see somebody who's got cancer, but I can still have joy, when they see somebody that's sick in their mind, but I can still smile and give God a praise, when I've had a brain bleed and I still stand at the door of the God and I still greet people, then I can show God the glory. God will get the glory out of my life. God wants us to do it big. Praise God. Jesus said this. Get back to where I was at. If you can believe and not doubt in your heart, saying that we believe in our minds and what we believe in our hearts are two completely different things. See, what you believe up here is one thing. And what you believe here is another thing. Right? When you believe it here, you just talk about it. But when you believe it in your heart, you're going to be about it. Huh? How many people know people that sit down, I'm believing God for a job. God is going to make me rich. Right? Ain't filled out an application. Ain't went and got a job. Not being good stewards of their money.
Yeah, come on.
God, the Spirit of God's moving. I just want to say something. Do you guys know what an extortioner is? You guys know what an extortioner is? Extortion. Okay, what extortion is? Let's say I'm dealing with people's money and off the profits or off the money. I take money out of the money, other people's money. I take that portion of money and I spend it on something that I shouldn't spend it on, like for me.
Right?
So I'll take, let's say, I take your $1,000 and with your $1,000, I'm supposed to do something with your $1,000, but I take $100 off that $1,000 and I keep it and I'll keep it in my pocket. And even though it's not mine, I go ahead and spend it. Okay, you guys listen very closely. Extortion. It's called extortion, right? And God was just speaking to me as I was sitting here talking. And God says, you know that no covetous, no adulterers, no extortioners will see the kingdom of heaven. Right? Okay, what are we doing in our giving? Because our money's not ours. But we take what's God's and we don't honor him. And we're extortioner of God's money. You guys go read it. Read it for yourself. It's in your Bible. No extortioners, no railers, all that, adulterers, idolaterers, all that stuff.
Yeah, come on.
It's in the Bible. You're taking money that's not yours and you're spending it on yourself.
That's right.
Where's this coming from?
The Holy Spirit.
Just right. The Holy Spirit. I came to help you guys today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's funny that when I prayed, I said chastise, challenge, and change. You can't change unless you're challenged or chastised. If you're a parent, you know. When you encourage your kids, you go, come on, come on, come on. But when they need other encouragement, you're like, come on, come on, come on. It's all encouraging.
Yeah.
It's saying the same thing. Same thing. So when you believe it in your head, you just talk about it. But when you believe it in your heart, you're going to be about it. So people don't have to sit down and tell me what they believe because I can watch them and know what they truly believe in. Most Christians, most people, and I know it doesn't happen here, people, Faith and Victory, you guys, on top of it, on the game. Because, you know, I'll go to churches and people are all talking about how much they love the Lord, and then next thing you know, I'll see them outside somewhere, and they're cussing somebody out.
Come on.
I'll see a man tell me how much he loves God, but yet he doesn't treat his wife right.
Come on.
I didn't get one amen from a man in here.
Amen.
Yes, brother.
Amen. You tell him, because that ain't me.
I'm going to tell you guys, you know what I seen? Men, this is what I just seen when I said that. Men don't treat their wives right. They were like, praise him, brother. See, when you believe in your heart, you're willing to give yourself relentlessly in the pursuit of your belief coming to pass. That's when you truly believe it. That's when I know it's gone from your head into your heart. That's how I know when people get saved, they're all excited about salvation because I'm not going to burn in hell. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's a head salvation. But when it gets into your heart, you're like, oh, I'm not going to hell. And what can I do to serve you, God? I believe everything you called me to do. I'm just going to find a place, whatever I can put my hands on, I'm going to do. You got to be about it.
Yes.
See, that's why the Apostle James said this. He says, you ask me of my faith and I will show you my works. You don't have to ask me what I believe in.
That's right.
You can see what I'm doing. You know how I know a Seahawks fan? Yeah. Because you got to start cheering when you hear someone I say Seahawks.
Yeah.
You're doing. You're wearing jerseys and hats. Making me feel bad. But God forgives you. God forgives you. See, most of us believe that if we eat right, we exercise and we diet, that we can get in good shape. You guys believe that?
Yeah,
you guys believe that? We know if we get up and we work out and you say, you know, every year, you know, most of us go, you know what? I'm going to start working out. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to get in the gym. I'm going to do all that. A lot of us do that. And we say that at the beginning of the year. We really believe it.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
and you might just go to the gym a couple of times, right? You believe it, you'll go to the gym a couple of times, but after a while, that belief that in your head isn't strong enough to anchor you to what you believe in. But when it's in your heart, see, when it's just in your head, you won't pursue it. You won't sacrifice for it. You won't do without of other things. And you won't go the extra mile if it's just in your head. Because our belief hasn't made the 18-inch jump from our head to our hearts. See, we talk about this all the time. We talk about Evel Knievel jumping over Snake River, and it was the world's record for the furthest jump ever to be made. And, of course, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but they failed miserably. Some of you guys old enough to remember that. Some of us didn't remember Evel Knievel. Yes, praise God. Yes. Anyway, so he failed that. But listen, I'm here to submit to you today that the biggest jump that ever is made, that can be made, is taking a belief from your head to your heart. From taking it from here to here. Sometimes, so many times, us as Christians have a hard time getting it from out of here and putting it in here. We believe in Jesus. We believe in his body. We believe in his church. We believe his words, but it never got here. We'll come to church. We'll listen to the pastor. We'll amen after we're inspired by a message. Pastor, I can't wait. I'm down with the vision. I'm ready to run with it. And the pastor says, great. Next Saturday, we're meeting here at 5 a.m. We got to pick up some garbage. We're going to do this and that. And then all of a sudden, that belief that took the jump did this and then died right in the middle. Snake River jump. Didn't make it. Just didn't make it. God desires us to believe in him. When we read Mark chapter 11, 22 and 23, it said, then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You could say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Now, when God says faith, he means belief. You can move mountains and it'll be thrown into the sea. So God's saying this, if you really, truly believe in your heart, you can go outside, look at Mount Rainier and say to it, you know what? Jump into the Pacific Ocean and it will do it. And most of us believe that. But here, I'm here to tell you today, listen, you can't take one scripture and try to run with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Please. I'm here to help you today. You got to read the whole Bible. That's why there's many pages. Okay? We got to read the whole thing. And sometimes we have questions about it, but if we keep reading, we'll find answers. That's why the Bible said, that Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. But we're in a generation where we're not doing too many seeking. Anyway, okay, so what we could say to the mountain, move and be cast in the sea. And we think that the mountain's going to supernaturally, miraculously grow legs and start running and jump into the sea. That ain't going to happen. If God tells you that you could say to this mountain, you can move it, you better go get you a backhoe and a shovel and a pick and go right over there to Mount Rainier and start hammering that thing down. I'm going to help you guys out because I'm going to connect the dots for you in scripture. Because a lot of us think I can just say it. If I believe it, it's going to happen. No. James said, without faith. Excuse me. He says, if you ask me of my faith, I'll show you my works. Well, what he's saying is, when I believe something, when I truly have faith in something, you're going to see me working at it. Yeah. So when God tells you to go to the mountain and knock the mountain down, that you can tell the mountain to move, he's saying, listen, pick up a shovel, get you a bobcat, and start knocking that mountain down. And supernaturally, because people are going to be looking at you going, man, that's a mountain. It's a volcano. And you think that by yourself you're going to knock this mountain down, and you can say, yes, I believe I'm going to do it because with God, all things are possible. I'm doing it believing in God. I'm doing it big. Yeah. And then some people say, well, you know what? It's probably going to take you some time to knock that thing down. It's going to take you some time to take that thing. You'd be like, that's all right. It's definitely going to be okay because you know what? When God gives you a big vision, he gives you provision. God tells you to do something, guess what? He's going to give you people to help
That's right.
with that vision.
Yeah.
God says, here's the vision. Then he gives you this big vision, and all of a sudden you get, man, God, I need some help with that vision. He says, no, I've already given to you what you need before you can ask or even think it, because I already know that. See, the everything that we've already need is in the land. We just don't know how to go and get it. So what God said is, I've given you a vision. He said, Pastor Matt, I've given you a vision. Well, God, what am I supposed to do? He says, don't worry, I've given you the provision. Pro means to go with or for. So you have something for the vision, the provision. So God says, I'm going to give you provision. So when you want to move that mountain, God's not going to send you by yourself. God's going to send you with people. And as people begin to see the work start being done, they get a little bit excited and go, this man means business. This man's actually going to do it. So then they team along with them, and then they start moving it. And before you know it, God really loves unity. I'm telling you, when people come together, fitly joined together as a body of believers, with a body supplying to each other, they can do anything. All things are possible. All things. The Tower of Babel.
Yeah, so
people just got together.
Yeah.
God said, if I wouldn't have stopped them, they would have completed it.
Yeah.
They were saying, listen, we're going to build us a tower so we can sit next to God.
Yeah.
God said, wow, look at such unity.
Yeah.
It's blasphemous, but it's unity. Not only that, y'all can't even talk to each other no more. That's where we get the word Babel from. He's just babbling on. It means I can't understand you. Praise God. God is a big God. And when he gives us dreams, they're going to be big too. We see through the Bible, God gave dreams and visions, big dreams and visions to people that seemed impossible. He went to Noah and told Noah, build an ark. He has no Noah. He ain't never even seen rain. Build an ark. Ark. And how big? The whole what? I ain't never seen a giraffe. He told Abraham that he was going to have more children than the stars in the sky and the sands in the earth. And Abraham, like 90. And impotent. You notice how I said that? It's a joke. Impotent. So he wore ties and suits because he wanted to look impotent. If you didn't get it, you get it on the ride home. He told Moses that he was going to free the children of Israel. He told Solomon that he would build a temple. And he told Nehemiah that he would rebuild a wall. See, all these dreams would be impossible if they didn't go big. If they didn't believe in God, it would be impossible. There's also one very important thing that I need you guys to understand. Every time God gives us that vision, God says, I'm going to supply a vision for a man or woman of God, and I'm going to supply them with provision, but you guys need to know that you're the provision. The vision was given to Moses. The vision was given to Abraham. The vision was given to all these great men and women of God because God chooses certain people. Not saying that they were better, not saying that they were anything different, but God chose in all of his, you know, he's infinite knowledge and power. He chooses who he wants to choose. So he chooses certain people. And then he says, listen, I'm going to get provision. And I need you to know today that the vision that God has given over Pastor Matt and Crystal, the vision that he's given, he says, listen, there is going to be people that are coming that are going to be the provision for the vision that I've given you, for the task and dream that I've given them. I'm also here to tell you too, saints, don't expect God to fulfill your vision when you're not helping somebody else's vision.
Come on.
You like that? God says, I give seed to the sower. Right? Basically, what he's saying is, I'm going to give to people that give. Okay, God is our source. Right? How many people are looking for resources? You guys didn't need resource? You guys know resource? You guys lose a job and you're like, man, I just lost my resource for my family. I'm like, of course you lost your resource because you weren't looking towards the source.
Come on.
My job is not my job is my resource, but God is my source. God just uses my job to get me money so that my job is a resource, but why am I not turning around becoming a resource?
Come on.
The word re means to do over again.
Yes.
Source. Okay. Source means to provide. I'm a source. I'm a place of abundance. So if I'm a source and God's my source and I've been created in the image of God, then I need to be a resource because he created me and made me. So as God gives to me, he gives seed to the sower. I need to take that seed and pass it on along. You guys know about the men with the talents. I'm not going to go over the whole story, but the last guy said, no, Lord, I know you was a hard man. You was going to try to reap where you have not sown. So what I did, God, is I took what you've given me, and instead of being a resource, I became a storehouse and just hid it and buried it in the earth. I hid it and buried it in the earth. Let's go back. Genesis.
Come on.
What are we made of?
Dirt.
Dirt is from where?
Earth.
Earth. Let me break it down for you. He took his own talent, took his money, took his resources, and hid it and buried it in himself. He used it for himself. He did not want to be a resource.
Yeah.
He figured this was the stop. Okay, God, you gave it to me. It's all for me. Thank you for the 58-inch screen TV and the nice house and everything else. Why there's other people out there hurting. There's a vision that needs to come to the pass, and it's not just our personal visions. It's God's vision.
Yeah.
And as we begin to feel God's vision, then it pours and trickles down. As the oil pours down the head of Aaron, down his beard into his robe, so does the anointing. So does the blessings begin to pour down from the head into the body. Don't think God's going to meet your need until you go meet somebody else's. You have been called to be resources. Resources. Praise God. Now, I know people think when they think of provision, they think of supplies, and that's not the case. It is in a way. It does. We do need supplies, but before we need supplies, we need you. As a pastor, I can't do the work of God without the people of God.
Amen.
You know, just to be honest, my head may want to do something, but if my body doesn't cooperate with my head, then I'm not going to get nothing done.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
You guys hearing me? If you break your leg, you guys know something. If you break your right leg or hurt your left arm or whatever, the other body parts have to do more to compensate for that broken area, right? Right. And the bad thing about it is it's working harder for the other limb.
Yeah. Yeah.
OK, we're a body of Christ and we're a body and there's arms and legs in here. And to be honest, there's certain arms and legs that ain't doing what they need to do. So the opposite arm and leg has to do more to try to make up for the ones that ain't doing what they need to be doing. Yeah. So it's. Right. See, that's what ends up happening. Then there's a problem, because when the body of Christ is limping, anytime you walk with the limp for a certain period of time, you begin to throw other things out of whack.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm in the medical field. When you begin to walk and you have a bad knee and you've been walking with a limp for so long, then it gives you a bad hip.
Yes, it does.
Yes. It was just a bad knee, but for some reason, it seems that the disobedience and all that stuff begins to spread for some reason. And the knee is bad, and it's so disobedient because it doesn't work right. Then all of a sudden, the disobedience goes into the hip. So now it's your hip and your knee. And because the hip is out, all of a sudden your back starts hurting. Now your back is out. Now the church of God can't even stand up straight. Because now we're all humped over and slunched over in a community because we can't stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if the body would come together, fitly joined together, a body of believers, each of us supplying what we need to each other. You know, in the book of Acts, it says that they all gave so that nobody had was without.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All of us should give. And I'm just here to tell you, maybe you don't have a job. Maybe you rode a bicycle here. Maybe you're living on the street. Do not think for one second that you can't be a functioning member of the body of Christ. God will use you right where you're at. God will bring you in, attach you to the body, and you'll be functioning.
Amen.
And you know what? You may not have, you know what, Pastor? I don't have a dime to give. And you know what your pastor's going to tell you? God's not looking for you to give to me. God's looking for you. He said, present your body a living sacrifice. You come in and lay your life on the line and say, I'm here to offer what I have to God. Whether it be you just get food or whatever, it doesn't matter. We have a guy at our church that's homeless. And what he does is he goes and he waits in line until at the food bank where everybody's gotten their food and they have all this extra food they're just going to throw away. You know what he does? He picks up all the food. He walks to our church with all the extra pastries, walks in early, and he always goes, "Pastor, here, I want this for God's people so they can have something to eat." Amen. That's his offering. Amen. Oh, by the way, because he did it with a sincere heart, right before we left, he came to me, ran up to me crying, "Pastor, I got a job." I was strung out on meth, out on the street. Yes. Wife left me. Kids hate me. But I gave my life to Christ. Listen, and I joined a body of believers. Yes. I sat in. I got connected to the body. I began to give of everything that I have. And then God turned around and blessed me. Yes. He blessed me. Yes. If God can do it for him, he could do it for him. God is no respecter of person. But God is looking for it all. God wants every little bit that you have. He doesn't want some. He doesn't want a little bit. He wants it all. He wants it all. My God. See, when God gives the vision to the man and woman of God, he gives the provision. Let's look back at the people we talked about earlier. Noah didn't build the ark by himself. And if you guys went and seen the movie or whatever, don't believe the whole thing about them rock giants. Noah had his family. His family helped him build the ark. God didn't call him to do it by himself. And besides that, God gave him strength. Abraham. God said, "You're going to have more children?"
Yeah. Couldn't do it by himself.
He couldn't do it by himself. He needed Sarah to come in and align with the vision. Somebody say, "Oh, glory. Amen." God is good. But not only that, you know, Abraham had Isaac, but Isaac, listen, Isaac caught on to the vision that his dad had, and he had to participate.
Yeah.
So Isaac begot Jacob.
Yeah.
And then Jacob said, "Well, listen, I need to keep this vision going." Yeah. And then you guys know Jacob had a bunch of kids.
Yeah. Yes.
Then it turned into children of Israel.
Yes.
My God, because they caught on with the vision, because they became the provision for the vision. Yeah. Moses wasn't by himself. He had Aaron to speak for him. Moses, the first megachurch pastor. Can you imagine? Look, listen, I'll be honest. It gets frustrating sometimes, but can you imagine a pastor going, God, let my Aaron. God gave him Aaron.
Yes, he did.
But not only that, he gave him Caleb to go and encourage him.
Yes, good.
He says, "We're able."
Yes, we're able.
"We are able to do it."
Yes.
"Pastor Matt, I know it doesn't look like we can do it. And I went and scouted out the land, but we are more than able. God is with us.
Amen.
We could do it." And because Pastor Matt can't go out and do much stuff, then he gave him Joshua.
Yeah.
Joshua said, "Don't worry about it. I just need you to stand here, keep glorifying God. I'm going to go out and fight the battle."
Yes.
God gives provision for the vision. Don't you realize the children, there was a lot of children in Israel, but God said, "Listen, I'm going to give you the land of milk and honey." Ooh, and they're like, "Ooh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. You go and give me the land." He says, "Go inhabit the land." "Oh, thank you, Jesus." And he said, "But first, I need you to go look at it first." So the guys go out there and look, and they come back like, "Hey, Moses, where we're staying at right now really ain't so bad. I mean, God gives us manna. We get some clean water. Occasionally, going to get some pheasant, you know, some quail. I think we should just stay here because over there they got giants.
Yeah. That's right. That's what happened.
We look like bugs. We look like insects in their sight.
Yeah.
It looks impossible.
That's right.
And I believe Moses was sitting there thinking, says, "Listen, don't you just see what just happened?
Yeah.
After what you've seen God deliver us from, listen, saints. What God has delivered us from, and now you think that God is just going to stop? You think God brought us this far to quit right now? Do you think that God would set us free from our captors that has kept us in bondage all this time and then just say you're free? No, he has given us something. He said there's more to this life. Jesus said that I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I've called you to inhabit the land. I've called you to take over the land. But there will be giants in the land. It's going to look impossible. But with me, when you do it believing in God, when you do it big, nothing can stop you.
Yes.
Nothing can stop you.
Amen.
We even go down to Nehemiah. He wasn't by himself. He took people that believed in the vision that God had given them. And they gave themselves. Listen, the people that were with him gave themselves relentlessly. They gave themselves relentlessly in the pursuit of the work to rebuild the temple wall, so that the house of God would be a place of spiritual significance, spiritual influence, and spiritual impact. I want to make something clear to you today in your hearing. Why am I saying all this? Why did the Lord place this in my heart for faith and victory? God has given your pastors a vision. If you don't belong to this church and you don't have a church home, like he said, this is the place to be. This is the place to be. The vision that he's given. Now I'm telling you this not because I sat down and talked to them. I promise you this. I didn't sit down and go, hey, what was your vision? Didn't do that. I didn't say, so what's coming up next? God gave me this message to share with you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to share it with you because I believe it's a prophetic message
Amen.
For the people.
Amen.
And it says this, and this is what God showed me. He said that the Faith and Victory Church will be a place of spiritual significance, a place where people could come and meet God in a real and relevant way, to have the burdens removed and the yokes destroyed, a place where signs, miracles, and wonders would happen, confirming the word of God. That Faith and Victory Church would be a place of spiritual influence. Why? Because you're praying, church. You're a church that prays without ceasing, changing and setting the atmospheres, a place that would make such an impact on the city that you would have favor in the city, favor with city officials, with the schools, with businesses, to get the work of the ministry done and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that faith in victory will be a place of spiritual impact. Faith in Victory Church will be a church known for fulfilling the Great Commission by evangelizing to the local communities. They would be known for having the most diverse church or congregation in all of the Seattle surrounding area. I was at the men's advance, and praise God, I sat back and I looked, and I'm talking to some of these guys. Some of these guys are ex-gangbangers, drug dealers, all kinds of stuff. Some men just used to be out, be whoremongers, and all kinds of stuff. But I looked across, and I saw all different ethnicities and colors and men from different backgrounds, but yet they were different ages. Yeah, there was older men and middle-aged and younger guys. They weren't cliques. They were just all talking to each other like they were buddies. They was like, hey, man, what's going on? Oh, nothing was happening. Everything was knit together because of the love of God. It's like, man, I don't care where you came from. I just love you, man. Come here, talk to me. What do you want to talk about?
Come on.
I had a guy tell me, he looked at me, he says, man, I was never a drug dealer and ain't been shot at, but I was disobedient like you. And I said, yeah, amen, brother. It's all disobedience. I ain't never smoked no dope, but I was disobedient. I was like, yeah, praise the Lord. But God can do that. That's how you know God's in the middle of something. When things that people say are impossible happens. Huh? Because the way God's changing this community right now, we need to get along with everybody. I don't mean to get super spiritual on you, but you know the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. They talk about the gift of tongues and interpretation tongues and other tongues. There's going to be languages that people need to be speaking that are in here. If you speak Spanish, if you habla español, you're going to be needed. If you speak Tagalog, you're going to be needed. If you speak Samoan, you're going to be needed. There's going to be people that God has called into this church that have the gift of other tongues. That there's going to be people that need to be reached that don't speak English very well, and you're going to be able to minister to them and bring them into the house of God. Let's not get super spiritual. spiritual with it, fellas. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, God has given us all gifts and talents that he needs for us to use. Yeah. There's not one person in this place that God does not want to use.
Yeah.
And I'm just here to tell you, if you're not attached, if you're not serving, we're not as good without you.
Yeah, that's right.
We're lost without you.
Yes.
We're not whole without you.
That's right.
Who wants to do without their pinky toe?
No, thank you.
Anybody want to do? Anybody?
No.
I don't show my pinky toe that much, but I want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to leave.
No.
Ladies, you guys get your toes done?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you do, hopefully you cut your toenails. If you don't get them done, hopefully you clip them things. Come on, man. You should have said amen because you don't want to get them feet on you. Hey, 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 it's a dog in the bed. Just saying. Clip them things. You wouldn't paint four toenails and leave the other one undone. That's what I'm saying.
No.
You wouldn't. You would do all of them. In the same way that you would take care of all that, we want to take care of everybody, but you got to be in the bodies. You got to be connected so we'll know about you.
Yeah,
the hardest thing for me as a pastor is people coming up to me telling me their problems, and I'm like, I've seen you a couple times, but I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, come on. Good.
Because you're not connected. It's not the pastor's fault.
No.
It's not the people's fault. Mm-hmm. It's your fault because you're not connected.
Yeah, come on.
I'm telling you right now, if you're connected in this church, people are going to know who you are.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
right.
If maybe the pastor might not know you, but I guarantee you in this church, since I've been here, there's been at least five people that know my name before I got here. They knew who my wife was because they take an effort to get to know who you are.
Yeah.
Pastor can't get to everybody, but he's got people in the church that are able to reach out and touch you and love on you and hold you in times of need. But if you're not connected, you can't get it. If you're not believing in God for the things that God has given us, then guess what? Then you're gonna miss out. Seahawk fans in here? There's three of them. Anybody in here, the 12th man? Let me see your Super Bowl ring. Yeah. Okay, let me help you out. Let me help you out. You cheered for him. You rooted for him. You were happy about it. But guess what? You ain't on the team.
Yeah, that's right.
You ain't on the team.
No. Yeah. Good.
See, there's people that got rings that were on the Seahawks. You never know, and you'll never know about them because they were supporting cast.
Yeah.
See, there were trainers, there were certain coaches, there were people in the offices that were a part of the team. They were hired on part of the team. When the team won, the people that were on the field, because they were a supporting cast, they were part of the team, and they got a ring.
Yeah. Come on.
But everybody that was in the stands cheering and yelling and going crazy, going nuts, they ain't getting nothing.
They didn't get a ring. That's right.
They got to cheer.
Yeah. That was fun.
So what I'm asking you today about faith and victory, are you a fan?
Come on.
Are you part of the team? See, there's going to come a day that there's a championship. And that's the day that you're going to stand before the Lord.
Yeah.
And he's going to say, what have you done with the talents and gifts that I've given you? Dude, were you a part of my body of Christ? Not just doing the whole thing about, well, we're all the church, pastor, so I fellowship at home with our... No. The Bible says in the book of Acts, it says daily, they went from each other's houses. And then it goes on and says, and the temple.
Yeah.
So yes, you're supposed to meet in houses, but don't leave out the temple. Breaking bread. We just had communion.
Yeah. Come
on. Are you a part of the team?
Come on.
Because when you meet Jesus, you know what's going to happen? Are you going to get that crown of righteousness that's going to have a jewel in it? That's your ring. Are you going to say, Lord, I prophesied in your name, and Lord, I cast out demon in your name. And then the Lord looks at you and says, depart from me. You weren't on my team. I saw you cheering. I saw you in church. I saw you standing over there. I really did. I sat down and even offered you a place on the team. I had a preacher preach till his voice went out and said, listen, God wants you on his team. He's tired of fans. He wants followers. Saints of God, I don't know what other churches in this community are going to be doing. They could be sitting around on their behinds, twiddling their sanctified thumbs till Jesus comes. But I know for a fact, because I know your pastors, and I can just feel the way that the Spirit's moving around here. I know that Faith and Victory Church will be a church of giving, a church that's growing, and a church that's glorifying God. And I'm here to tell you today that you are the provision for the vision that God has gave this man and this woman. Every one of you have something to offer. But I want to ask you right now, do you guys believe in God? Will you guys from this day on do things big?
Yes.
Now that I've asked you, when it comes before you, remember these words that God has said to you today. Because God's going to put something before you that's going to be impossible. Are you going to think it's impossible? And it will be impossible by yourself. But as you look to the left and you know that, man, my leg's going to be moving and my other leg's going to be working fine. You ever see a track runner before he runs?
Yeah.
It's like he's doing an inventory of everything. Marcy, you know what I'm talking about. We used to get in them blocks. Get there and you shake it out. You get ready to go. See, that's right before we're about to take off.
Yeah.
Before.
Come on.
You got to. Right before the church is about to take off.
Yeah.
We got to take inventory, saints. We're taking inventory before Faith and Victory takes off in them blocks. Yeah. And right now, we ain't racing against another church.
Come on.
We ain't racing against another saint.
Come on.
We're trying to race against this world and the things in this world.
Yeah.
Right now, we need to beat this world. We need to beat the enemy and the spirit of Antichrist. So just shake it off. But I need to know before I get in these blocks, are all my body parts working? All everything work? I don't want to take off like this because I can't get a good start. I want to get down in the blocks because I need my hands to hold me as I'm getting ready to push off and take out. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you working? Are you believing in God? Are you ready to take this vision and run with it? Are you ready to take the vision and run with it? Saints of God, I'm asking you today, are you going to do everything believing in God? God has something big for this church. I know it. I can feel it. I can see it in the spirit. It's getting ready to happen, but it's not going to happen. It will not happen without everybody's participation. Did you hear? Thank you. I thank you for the five people, the clap. But listen, everybody. That means all y'all. Can you guys understand that? Do I need to say it correctly? This means everybody in the place. Praise God. It means all of the congregation must be participating fully to complete the plan and purpose that God has for us. Amen. God wants to use you today to complete the vision.
Yes.
If I leave you with anything else, I want you guys to do everything. Do it big.
Amen.
Believe in God.
Yes.
Believe in him and everything that he's showing you. But first, in order to believe in God for the things that you want, you need to believe in God for salvation.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet, please.
Woo!
Praise God. Somebody give God a praise, please. Just thank him for his goodness and his wonderful works.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're talking about doing it big. And today is probably a really good day to go big. And I'm not talking about things in this world, but I'm talking about giving your life to Christ. It's the biggest thing you'll ever do in your life. I shared with the men, I said, you know what, there was a time in my life that it was a this is it moment for me. I was sitting in the second row of this church. I had been coming for a long time, and I was even serving a little bit. But it came a point in my time, I said, this is it. This is it. I don't want to do anything else, Lord. I've done it all. I've tried everything. This is it. There was a time in my life where I really thought I knew who Jesus was. And I did know Jesus. I knew him. I know him. I know him just like I know who the president is. You guys know who the president is, don't you? Barack Obama. You guys know where he's from? He's from Chicago. We know where he lives. He lives in the White House. We know about his children. We know about his wife.
Yeah.
We know him. We see him all the time. We talk about him. We give him adoration. But guess what? If you left here today and you needed to go talk to President Obama and you knocked on his door, he's going to go, security. He goes, I don't even know them. And that's how a lot of us are with Jesus. We know where he lives. We know about his family and where he came from. We know his father. We know all about him. We even call on him sometimes. We give him adoration. We do things in his name. But what about the day that we go to meet him? Will he say, hey, my child, enter into my rest. Well done. Thy good, listen, and faithful. Do you think God will call you something that you're not? So if you're not serving, do you think he'd look at you and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Do you think he'd do that? He's going to call you a servant, though. He didn't call you a servant and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done means you have to have done something for him to say, well done. Or he's going to say, thy wicked and slothful. Another word for it was thy lazy and wicked servant. So either you're serving God or you're serving yourself. You may know Jesus, but does Jesus know you? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Out of everything, what I came here for is to bring the Word of God and salvation to those that don't know Jesus Christ. So I want everybody's head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not made him Lord, he's already Savior, but have you made him Lord of your life? Is your name written in the Lamb Book of Life? If it's not, and you want to be saved today, you say, today I repent of my own way and I want to turn towards Jesus Christ. If that's you, I just want you to just lift your hand up real high in the sky and just say, that's me. You ain't got to say nothing. Just lift your hand up and then put it back down briefly. Amen. I see your hand. I see your hand.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Praise God. Saints of God, that's a time to celebrate.
Hallelujah.
It's a time to celebrate. Okay. I can put it to you this way. If you knew that who raised your hand was maybe your daughter or your drug addict son or it was your drug addict daughter, a prostitute daughter, or your drunken wife or husband, if that was them giving their life to Christ right now, how would you praise God?
Hallelujah!
Hey! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. My second request is this, my second petition. Maybe you're falling out of relationship with God and you say today, you know what, I want to make that up with the Lord. I'm saying, you know, I'm a prodigal. I kind of stepped away and God, I want you to come back into my life. I want to just get rid of everything else. I want to put all that stuff behind me. And today, Jesus, I just want to renew my relationship with you. If that's you today, just raise your hand real high. Amen. Amen. Woo! Amen. I see your hands. You can put them down. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Do you know when the prodigal son came home, there was a party?
Yes, there was.
Yeah. 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 What are we going to wait till we get to heaven to party?
Come on.
I'm sorry. I'm excited about salvation. I'm excited that we snatch people out of the hands of the devil. I'm excited because I have out of all my family, my family, I have one son that's not saved. And I promise this, that I will tell as many people I know about Jesus Christ until my son comes back and he'll be ministering. I'm speaking this, that he'll be ministering with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Devil can't have him. And if you're believing for somebody in your life, you just keep believing. Don't worry about how it looks. You become a prophet of God. You begin to speak words of life over them. You just look at them. Some they can come home drunk, tore up, high out their mind. You just look at them and say, you are a child of God. Man, God is going to do great, wonderful things over you. Man, God loves you. Hallelujah. Let them sit down. Let them go to sleep for a while because you have peace in your house because you have the Prince of Peace. So because there's peace in the house, if you ever notice, somebody's going to bear witness to this. Your drug addict family or your family that's dealing with certain things, when they come over your house for some reason, they may tend to fall asleep. It's because the peace of God is in your house. And this is an opportunity, a time that you just sit over and begin to pray. Just say, oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God, I'm calling those things right now that are not as though they were. I thank you, Lord, that you have given my child an expected end. Oh, Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, that you have brought them out of darkness into the marvelous light. Lord, if you could reach me, if you could reach a wretch like me, I know that you can reach down and get my child. I know you can reach down and get my husband. I know you can get my wife. Praise God. Praise God. If you raise your hands today, I just want to say a simple prayer with me today. You guys ready? Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. And I believe that you are the Son of God that came to man and died on a cross for my sins. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are my resurrected King. And I now give my life fully to you. Thank you. I am now a child of God. I am saved. I am sanctified. I am on my way to have an abundant life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys give God a praise.